This is The Radical Therapist, a space where we explore the intersections of collaborative therapy, philosophy, art, and science and technology in a post-Freud, post-psychology world.
Welcome to The Radical Therapist. This is your host, Chris Hoff. And we are now at episode 6, and in this episode, I pay a visit to the LA Pomo Gathering. This happened on Sunday, August 30th, and it was a day-long event of facilitated conversations with topics that included couples therapy or sex, trauma, discourses around the body, postmodern conversations about psychiatry, mindfulness, and even yours truly. I facilitated a conversation titled Advancing Theory and Narrative Therapy, and that was a lot of fun to do. I had an opportunity to just kind of talk about some of the people that were influencing my work or having me think about my work in different ways, and that was a lot of fun to do. And so I also, during the day when I went up there, I brought a recorder with me, and I corralled a few people to do little interviews with me and asked basically questions about what they were doing in their conversations. But also I asked everybody kind of what ideas or thinkers or films, movies, music, what have you, are influencing their work or kind of have them thinking about their work in different ways. And so I really had some nice conversations during the day, and I'm happy to be able to share them with you here today. So pardon the audio. I'm still learning how to use this stuff. So hopefully, you know, just be patient. It's not terrible. It's not great, but it's not terrible. But I think you'll find the conversations really fascinating and really informative. And if you're interested in getting in touch with the LA Postmodern Therapy Group or the LA Pomo Group, I'll have information for you after the interviews on how you can do that. So without further ado, let's get to the interviews. Okay, I'm sitting with Charlie Lang, who is with Narrative Couples in what city, Charlie?
Actually, the company is called Narrative Counseling Center, and it's in LA in the Larchmont Village area of Los Angeles.
Okay, great. And you also direct the program at Antioch College, correct? The Bachelor's in Psychology program?
Antioch University, Los Angeles. I run the BA Psychology program, yeah, and I teach in that program and also teach in the master's level program there.
Great. And the reason I wanted to kind of sit you down is I'm really interested in asking some people today what ideas or thinkers or writers or films or what have you are kind of capturing their attention or influencing their work currently, kind of thing.
Great. Well, most recently, just last weekend, I saw a film called Wild Tales. It's an Argentinian film. It's got six short little films that make up the entirety of it. And I had actually heard about it months ago when it was out in theaters, but it just came out on DVD. So I got it, watched it last weekend. And it so happens that I'm right at the tail end of teaching a class right now called Madness in History and Film. Yeah. And we deconstruct ideas of madness and so-called insanity, both in history and also through film representations in the history of film. And so the last of the six shorts in Wild Tales, I was just so blown away by. And I brought it in and I showed the class. It's 30 minutes long. And I was just so thrilled with their response, because we had the most generative conversation, just deconstructing ideas around relationship and romance and marriage. It all takes place, the entire film takes place at a wedding. And I don't want to say too much about it. I just want to really encourage people to check it out. And it's sort of like out of the box and just really makes visible so much of what we oftentimes take for granted as we're sort of going along in our little lives, and the culture of, you know, getting married and what that means. I think this is a filmmaker to really keep your eye on. All six of the shorts are terrific, but the last one, the wedding one, just blew me away, and the students just loved it.
Great. So how would we find this film?
I got it on Netflix. There may be other ways. It's just recently come out on Netflix, so that's what I know.
Great. Okay. Netflix always comes through.
Yeah, they
do. Check it out. I appreciate your time, and thanks for sharing that with us, Charlie.
You're welcome. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Bye.
So I'm here with Kathy Adams, who is in private practice in West Adams, Los Angeles. And she is kind of the driving force behind this event taking place today. And I just wanted to kind of ask you, hi, Kathy.
Hi, Chris.
I just wanted to kind of ask you, how did this idea to get this day, this kind of, I know there is a LA POMO group, but you hadn't done anything to this scale as of yet. So how did this kind of come together?
Well, about a year ago, Lucy Cotter and I were talking about lack of community in the postmodern group. So we started the Google group. And then at some point during the year, one of my ex-interns, you know, we were talking about, there used to be the Malibu group. Like, we'd meet in Malibu once a year for a weekend.
I've heard about that group.
Okay. And so that's been years since that was being held and being being, you know, put on. And so there was some conversation around, why aren't we doing some kind of gathering, some kind of bringing people together? And I said, okay, I'll put it out there, you know, and if people want to help, then we'll do it. So, and you know, 14 people came forward to help. Then another 10 people came forward to be, you know, the conversation hosts.
Right.
So that was enough.
Yeah, and you actually sold out the event at 70 people.
70 people.
Were you surprised by that? Or?
Not after a couple days.
So
that's
they,
all it took.
Okay, they were coming in quick, the registrations,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So one of my tasks today is to host a conversation around kind of what ideas are capturing people's attention in the community, in the therapeutic community here. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if I could ask you, what's capturing your attention? What are you looking at these days? What's influencing your work, if you had to pinpoint something or some things?
There's an article by a woman, trans woman, a psychiatrist in Norway. Mm. And this is an old article by Esben Ester, Pirelli Bernsted.
Oh, okay.
I'll send you her article.
Okay. I'll provide a link on the show notes.
Remind me.
Yep.
And although, like, because I first read it because it was about working with really young kids, trans kids, it really informed how I work, you know, about working community. And, you know, and one of the things I thought about in reading it was how difficult that would be to do in the United States. Like, we're much more constrained about going out in the community and being more political.
Right. Or including the larger community in our work because of confidentialities, those kinds of things, yeah.
And so I really liked that in her work. I actually went to Norway to meet her. There was a narrative conference, a Dulwich conference. And so I went to Norway for that conference because I knew she'd be there.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great.
Was it everything you expected?
Everything and then some.
Okay, great.
Because the at the conferences, they always have like a queer dinner and a, you know, women's dinner and a, all of these different things. And the queer dinner happened to be at her house. And I kept going, I can't go because I'm not, because I'm straight. But my friend who was there said, oh, you can go. Just tell him you're a lesbian. And I said, no, I'll tell him I'm straight. But then I ended up being able to sit next to her and really have a good conversation about that. A movie that I really encourage people to see is a movie called, it's a documentary, Marwan Call.
Marwan Call?
Yeah.
M-A-R-W-A-N?
W-E-N-C-O-L.
C-O-L.
And it's a film about a man who suffered traumatic brain injury and how he, what he did to recover. And Marwan Call is the name of a town he created.
Wow, okay.
Imaginary.
Is it on Netflix, I hope?
It is on Netflix.
Okay.
Used to be streaming. I think now you have to order it, but it's available.
Okay.
It's a wonderful documentary.
Awesome.
I encourage people to see it.
We'll check it out.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for your time, Kathy.
You're welcome, Chris.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
So I'm here with now with Rob Santos, who is in private practice in Larchmont, Los Angeles, and he was actually one of the co-hosts of the first sessions today, and his topic was sex. And actually, one of the trainees that works at my community center went and was really raving about it. So,
who is that?
Randy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Did you say? Okay.
Good.
And so, first, I guess I have two questions for you. But the first one I want to ask is, can you give us a little summary of what you talked about in your conversation about sex?
So, yeah, you know, I came in with an intention to host a conversation to try and facilitate something that would be generative of a few different lists. One was going to be a sort of listing of like all the sort of social discourses and disciplinary forces that exist within the culture and that come to bear upon people as sexual beings, and the all the sort of embedded and invisible ideas that emerge to make people feel bad about themselves when they go about their business as sexual beings. I also wanted to try and generate just some practical deconstructive questions to help people come to an awareness of the effect of those forces and be more feel a little bit more agency in their own lives and help them sort of break free from dominant social ideas.
Great. And and I've actually attended one of your workshops before, and it was really great. So,
which one was that?
We did it in the backyard of your house.
Oh yeah, right, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. On the same subject.
Yeah.
Backyard sex talks.
Yeah, it's backyard sex talks. That was. They should continue these backyard sex talks.
I would like to. Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm tasked shortly here with the responsibility of being a conversation host around. You know, the title is Advancing Theory and Narrative Therapy, which is a little big, but it was more about having this conversation about what ideas, thinkers, writers, films, etc., people are paying attention to or what is influencing their work currently. And so I'm going to ask you that question. Do you have anything that's kind of influencing you at the moment?
It's great. I love that you're doing that. I wish I was actually able to participate in your talk. I'm not, but I'm going to be looking forward to hearing how it goes. I gave a talk like that myself a long time ago, where the person I pointed to at that time was Janella Bird, but she's now sort of, canonical. and for me, my current field of exploration is really sex therapy. So I'm sort of a visitor to the discipline and profession of sex therapy now, and finding lots of structuralist accounts of experience, lots of sort of medicalized ways of talking about people's experience, and in a way that I don't find particularly interesting, and searching for the people that are speaking to issues of social construction at a minimum, and post-structuralism more ideally. But so I've found tons of people speaking about social construction. That is endemic within the sex therapy world. There is this knowledge that people are living under the influence of sort of shame and, gender dominant ideas and stuff like that. I haven't yet found the person who is looking at the operation of social discourse and a sort of post-structuralist understanding of the construction of identity, except for Dr. Chris Donahue, who's actually in attendance here today.
Yeah, and his books are available.
His books are available. It's called Sex Outside the Lines.
Right.
And he is a true activist in the service of revealing the operations of shaming sexual discourses. I highly recommend seeing him and hearing him and checking him out wherever you can. He's kind of good.
Well, on your recommendation, I'll be sure to pick up the book that
on the
way out of here.
For sure, great.
So, Rob, I want to thank you for taking the time chatting with me, and I know you got to get at it. So,
yeah,
thanks a lot.
Yeah, great.
So I'm here with Larry Zucker, who is in private practice in Larchmont, Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just attended his workshop or conversation on removing blame from couples therapy.
Escaping blame,
right, from couples therapy. And it was fantastic. And so I guess I wanted to ask you if you could, for our listeners, just summarize a bit of some of the ideas that you were taking on
in that workshop?
Sure, I'd be happy to. There's a set of ideas that organize my work with couples, which is that they're often embedded in both conversational and relational practices that are at odds with their hopes and dreams. In its most escalated forms, that shows up as an escalated fight or debate in my office where they're trying to convince each other of the truth of things, and they're attacking each other, blaming each other, calling witnesses to support their point of view, trying to recruit me as an expert witness on each of their side. These are all escalations that couples therapists are really familiar with and need to steer clear of. Some of the ideas that guide me in steering clear of that debate is to realize that people aren't in it on purpose. If they're tangled up in trying to convince each other of things, it's because they've lost the way. They've either not had a way to have a richer conversation, or they've lost the way back to that conversation once they've gotten upset with each other or upset with themselves and tangled up in debate. Some definitions that help me keep my thinking clear about this is that I think of a debate as any conversation where people are trying to influence each other's thoughts, beliefs, actions, feelings. Debates are conversations of influence that start to escalate because the purpose of them is to have some influence or to have some control over another or to have a victory of one kind.
Yeah, I really like how you characterize that.
Yeah. And then a conversation is people's attempts to understand each other. One of the ways that couples get this right away is, the notion of whether or not you can win a conversation. Mm. People really understand it, that a conversation doesn't have a winner, but a debate of any kind does.
Right.
Even if it's not egregious, if it's not escalated. So, that's one of the concepts that guides my work is I'm trying to get people to sort of step outside of the debate they're caught in and take a stand against that debate because it gets in the way of that which they really might hope for in terms of what the relationship is meant to make possible.
Yeah, can I ask you to maybe go into a little bit of detail? I really liked your idea of relational intention. Can you speak to that a little bit, how you conceptualize that?
Most people who have been in a relationship for any length of time have discovered that it's not always fun and it's not always easy.
Right.
And so, I'm not very friendly to romantic ideas about relationship. I actually think they're often relationships are difficult and they're challenging and they're a struggle to keep balanced. It's hard to keep relationships fresh and alive and vibrant and blah blah blah. And yet we try. And so one of the things I'm interested in exploring with couples is the why of the try. Why do we try? What do we want a relationship to provide that we need, that we really can't do by ourselves? There's lots of wonderful things we can do by ourselves as people, but I think there's certain things that are only possible in relation to others. Mm. Whether it's a primary relationship or a polyamorous relationship is with 11 people, it's not the point to me. It's when people come together in relationship, there's things they want that relationship to enable, right? And so a very important part of my work is to try to create some space for people to richly describe what that thing is that they want.
Right.
Very
nice.
I think of that under the heading of relational intentions. What's the relationship meant to do?
Mm.
Right. And I try to draw people into richer conversations about that.
Wonderful. And you provided some great sample questions, et cetera, for us to take into our practices. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. One final question. I'm tasked with hosting a conversation around what new ideas people are looking at or what writers, thinkers, films, et cetera, are influencing their work, what have you. And so maybe I'm going to pose the same question to you. What's capturing your attention these days? What's influencing your work? Are there any kind of ideas out there, writers or films, et cetera?
Yeah. Well, in the last couple of years, I would say that Janella Bird, Stephen Madigan, David Epstein, there's been a couple of people that have been trying to create ways to treat relationship itself as an addressable entity, where we are in relationship, but we're also bystanders of the relationships that we're in. We actually see relationship and relational practice as a visible thing.
Right.
So those are the names that come to mind as people who have shaped my thinking in that direction.
Okay.
Is that?
Yeah, that's great. No, yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll let you get back to the day, and I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. Thanks, Larry.
My pleasure.
Okay, I'm now here with Dove Presnell, who is in private practice in Los Angeles. Her company is called Talking Possibilities. Mm-hmm. And she hosted a conversation earlier this morning with the Trans Youth Speaks group. Mm-hmm. You facilitated the conversation. And I guess my first question for you is, could you summarize a little bit of what you guys did in that conversation?
Well, what we did in this conversation is we actually used a reflecting team format. So we Wonderful. Had a panel of two of the participants of Trans Youth Speak, which is a project of a nonprofit that I started called Survivors Truths. And so we had two of the youth participants and then one of the facilitators. And so we were a panel, but what we did is we had a conversation about what's been helpful and less helpful in giving and receiving services within the mental health or social services realm.
Right.
And then the participants of the conversation, the audience, then had a conversation about our conversation, and then we turned around and talked about what they had said, and then we had a sort of brainstorming, getting concrete about ideas and resources and places to start at the end. So it was quite a lot packed into a couple of hours.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds wonderful. So I have one more question for you. That my task today is to host a conversation around new ideas in narrative therapy, or really what therapists, what some of the people here are, you know, looking at or being influenced by, that kind of thing. And I want to ask you the same question. Are there any writers, thinkers, philosophers, films, music, what have you, that is kind of capturing your attention right now or influencing your work?
Well, I would say that the work that I've been able to do with transgender youth has been really influential to me, because as a postmodern therapist, I'm really interested in identity and how we define our identities, how our identities shift in different situations and throughout our lives. And so the kind of accidental immersion in the world of transgender youth has been really, really interesting and engaging for me in all areas of my practice, because it's really helped me look at sort of how easy it is to get fixed ideas about identity, and that the opening up space for new identities or subtle shifts in identity right. is really a powerful thing for people.
Right, and that sounds like it's actually been transformative for you as well.
Well, exactly. That there's, and this idea, I've really been captured by this idea of how we continue to grow and develop and redefine ourselves throughout our lives, and that we get to keep doing that, and as therapists, we get to create spaces where other people get to do that.
Yeah.
And it's really cool.
Yeah. So, okay, Dove, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me. I'll let you get back to the conference.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. I'm here with Quinn Wise, who is a therapist at California Family Institute, a place close to my heart. And I'm checking in with him to see what his highlight of the day was at the LA Pomo Gathering.
I would have to say out of the three conversations, the last conversation, the one that you and I were in together.
That was David Marston, Laurie Markham's working, the wonderfulness of his conversations working with children, right?
Yes, exactly. And being relatively new, still on the learning curve of narrative therapy, it was really exciting and kind of touching to see exactly how effective it can be with kids. And it was eye-opening for me, and maybe kind of just lit more excitement under me to go forward.
Awesome. So you see this as something you'll be using in your own practice?
Easily. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right, well, drive home safely, Quinn.
Thank you, Chris.
I'll talk to you later. Okay, I'm here with Nikki Nolet, who is at Phillips Graduate Institute. And hi, Nikki.
Hi.
My first question, she's agreed for me to ask her a couple of questions. And my first question for you is, what's been the highlight of the day for you? We're now at the end, so what was the highlight for you?
The highlight of the day for me is just being a newbie within the POMO community, is being able to see how many resources we have at hand, even though it's somewhat of a small community. It's continuously growing, and to be able to connect with the individuals who have been within this organizational system or the POMO community as a whole for a very long and prolonged period of time.
So you've been really attracted to this gathering as being able to meet people, discovering a community, somewhere you can kind of begin to learn and study, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. It's more of like breaking down discourses of how we approach different topics. And so that really has been an approach for me that I was very excited within the POMO community to approach.
Great. Okay, so I know for a fact you were in my little conversation around advancing narrative therapy theory. So my next question for you is like, what are you reading? What's capturing your attention? Who's influencing your work, or what is influencing your work currently?
What's currently influencing my work is learning through my peers that are also in the POMO community about what different books and what collaboratively, what kind of resources we can pull from each other. In the discourse from your particular session with Advancing Theories, For me, personally, since I am a budding therapist within the POMO community, it was nice to be able to see all of these advanced therapists within POMO to basically show a practical application of advanced theories and how to, within our stance, absorb it, take it in as our own, and how we can actually then use it towards our practical application.
You bring a really great point that I'm always interested in. How do we take this really rich theory, which we can get kind of lost in at times, and really transfer it to practice? So you felt like you had a sense that, yes, we were talking about theory, but we were also talking in real ways about how it's influencing us in our practice. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things were with David Marston in particular brought over critique versus
deconstruction.
And in fact, we were even having a deconstructing conversation about that itself.
Great catch. Yes, we were.
So and doing the advanced theories and deconstructing those ideas together and collaboratively finding an approach of how we can use it towards our clients, I think is, you know, the best thing that I was able to bring out from that discussion.
Yeah, wonderful. That makes me happy. Okay, great. So thank you, Nikki, and I appreciate you taking the time to answer some questions, and I'm sure we'll be talking again soon.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, bye. Okay, I'm here with Kim Smith from the Miracle Mile Community Practice, which is in L.A. off Wilshire. I know some people over there. And Kim, I just wanted to grab you and ask you a couple of questions. First question is, what was the highlight of the day for you here? What did you find most inspiring?
Well, most inspiring. Ooh. It's hard to boil it down to one thing. I really appreciated sitting in with Larry Zucker. His
great workshop.
His reputation has preceded him, and I haven't ever had the opportunity to sit with him and listen to him talk. There was a lot of conversation during that talk about being really careful with the questions that we ask and being sure that we're not asking questions that might invite shame, especially when we're working with couples, because there's so much blame going on and that can turn to shame. And, you know, you hear that, but it's so much harder to actually practice and be conscious of the risks of doing that. And we kept pulling it back to that, and that was really helpful for me to, like, retreading that wheel over and over again. Oh, yeah, you got to wait for the right opening. You got to fashion the question in the right way. You have to be really, you know, be playful or bring in humor. Or there's all these different ways to use yourself as an example, get another metaphor. The externalization takes it away from the client. So all of those things, like various different ways that you can avoid shame.
Great. We always want to avoid shame, right?
That's right.
My second question for you is, because I had to run or host a conversation around ideas and theory and such, and I may be interested in who you're reading, what you're listening to, who's influencing your work, or what ideas are influencing your work currently.
It's really an interesting observation for me, because what's influencing me most is I listen to NPR all the time, and I listen to the questions that the interviewers ask. And I love when an interviewer asks a question and the recipient says, oh, that's a really good question. And so I'm really interested in the crafting of the question. So I read a lot, everything I can get my hands on. I'm a voracious reader. But what's influencing me is really reporters. That are looking, you know, they're looking to ask a good question. They're looking to get somebody to think about something in a different way than they've ever thought about it before. And I think that's really one of the things that we do in a narrative practice.
That's great. Wonderful. Now, before I let you go, you have a project brewing. I saw you had a flyer on the table.
Yeah,
can you tell us a little bit about the project you have going?
Sure. It's called the Fat Chicks Test Kitchen.
Awesome.
And I actually hosted a conversation today around body discourses. And being a large woman myself, I am met with these discourses of you have to be thin, you have to lose weight, and it's been a fight that I've been fighting my entire life.
Yeah, sure.
And I finally came to this point where I realized that if you could take measures of health off the scale, that your weight does not actually have a running commentary on your health, then you can look at the healthy practices you have in your life and they can become enough. And I'd like to introduce those ideas to other women who are struggling with all these ingredients that go into the project of thinness, which only becomes a project of thinness, which actually is virtually impossible to maintain. When it becomes a project of health versus the project of thinness, even when the scale doesn't move, you can still be healthy.
Great, that's great. So how would they find you?
They would find me by my Psychology Today ad or by calling me.
Okay. Calling you at the Miracle Mile?
No, actually, I'm in a private practice.
Okay.
I'm also doing that. And my number is 424-237-8603.
Wonderful.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks,
so
Chris.
Thank you, Kim, for taking the time.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, I'm here with Lori Markham, a longtime friend, right? We went to grad school together. We've known each other for several years, and she just completed doing kind of a workshop conversation. Mm-hmm. And would you tell us what you covered?
Sure. We were talking about work with young people and the importance of accessing agency and ideas and practices that support us in moving kids into a lead position in therapeutic conversations and also in their lives.
Yes, and you do that through
the Wonderfulness Interview.
Yes.
Which is a chance to get to know kids ahead of problems and according to their virtues, or what David Epstein calls wonderfulnesses.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
Thank you.
So you have a book coming out, right?
Mm-hmm,
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, the Wonderfulness Interview is in the book, and it's a lot about agency, and it's also a lot about imagination, because that tends to be in the wheelhouse, for kids in terms of what they have going for them to meet problems with. So it's called Narrative Therapy in Wonderland, Connecting with Children's Imaginative Know-How. I think that's the title we settled on. I think, yeah. And so it's a lot about how to support kids in accessing that, how to kindle the therapist's own imagination and to address problems on that realm.
That's wonderful. When should we expect a release?
Winter 2016.
Awesome. Okay, so we got to wait a year, but well worth the wait, right?
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
One final question. I had to host a conversation around kind of ideas or new ideas in narrative therapy, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So I've been asking people, what ideas or what writers or thinkers or films or music or whatever mm-hmm. is influencing them. So I'm wondering what's maybe capturing your attention these days mm-hmm. in relation to your work.
Yeah. Well, since we took the turned the book in, I haven't been reading things sure. academic, but I can tell you that
good for you.
thank you. My mind is on the book, and so I just finished reading What is the What? Have you heard of that
no,
book?
No.
It's by, I think his name is Dave Eggers, and it's it's considered a novel, but it's, you know, he's drawing from his experiences. He's one of was one of the lost boys of Sudan who, after I think like a 15-year experience of being what they call an unaccompanied minor, ended up coming to the United States. Oh. And so a lot of the book is about you know, him walking with all of these other boys and living in refugee camps. And so, you know, I was listening with an ear for, you know, where is there agency? And my God, the examples of, you know, young people accessing agency were just incredible in right. the face of dealing with problems. It's no exaggeration that were, you know, trying to take their life and, you know, meeting those problems in all sorts of creative ways, imagination in terms of accessing a fictitious world of what they imagined other places in Africa or in the United States would look like once they got there. And it was so beautiful that that would kind of propel them forward, keep them walking. So accessing imagination or you know, supporting each other and staying alive. What else? Well, there was one example I was going to share with you that I thought was so profound.
And that is What is the What?
It's called What is the What?
By Dave Eggers.
Yeah,
okay.
And I'm still trying to figure out what is the what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. you know, like I thought, did I get this? I won't pretend to know that I understand the meaning of it exactly.
Mm.
But maybe it's especially visible when adults are not in the lives of kids the ways that they step forward is capable. Not that we would ever wish that anybody would be in those kinds of circumstances,
right.
but it certainly challenges the view that kids are incapable.
Well, thank you, because you just perked my interest. I think I'm going to have to check it out now.
Yeah.
So, thank you. So thank you for taking the time, Lori. And,
you're welcome.
Drive home safely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, that's our show, and I want to thank you for listening. If you are interested in getting in touch with the LA Pomo Group or getting involved with the LA Pomo Group, you can do that in a couple of different ways. First off, they do have a Facebook page, so just go to Facebook Groups and search LA Pomo. And also, they do have a Google Group, so send an email. The easiest way is probably just to send an email to lapomo@googlegroups.com or search in Google Groups under LA Pomo. And you'll be able to get connected that way. And if all else fails, just shoot me an email at theradicaltherapist@gmail.com and I will get you connected. So so thanks for listening. If you want to contact us at The Radical Therapist, you can do that in several ways. And we do have a website at theradicaltherapist.com. We're on Instagram at The Radical Therapist and on Twitter at The Rad Therapist. And it's a great way to kind of be in conversation with us. And I also want to ask you all a favor. Those of you our loyal listeners, if you would be willing to go to iTunes and rate and review the show, we would really appreciate it. Take you 5 minutes just to go out there and rate and review our show. It's a great way to kind of expand our presence and keep us in front of some people so they'll be able to find our show. So thank you for that. And finally, just you can contact me through our email at theradicaltherapist@gmail.com. If you have any questions or want to suggest a guest or even give me some feedback, it would be appreciated. So my name is Chris Hoff. This has been The Radical Therapist, and I thank you for listening.